Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Good morning.
Good Tuesday morning. Wednesday morning. It's Wednesday, August 1st, 2007. I'm trying to stay in July because July is one of my favorite months of the year, being summertime. But it's August. We're moving forward, and we tear off another page on that calendar and start a brand new month, thanks be to God. August 1st, 2007. My name is Teresa Tomeo. Good to be with you on a Wednesday morning. Catholic Connection is the program. We have lots of good stuff for you this morning. Of course, we have a full newscast for you. A very interesting survey that I hope you'll think about and pray about. And we'll be tracking this one down, hopefully getting the person who conducted this study, this survey, so to speak, on the air with us, because it's very poignant, especially for believers. It's a report about Christians being too busy for God. A six-year study of Christians in 139 countries around the world, over 20,000 Christians interviewed, most of whom saying, yes, indeed, I've conformed to the culture, and I am getting too busy for God, or somehow easing God out because of my busyness. So, fascinating study, and that'll be our lead story in the news this morning. We'll be talking about that. And I'm curious to get Father Frank Pavone's reaction to it, because one of the interesting things that the study found is that even people in ministry seem to be going from task to task to task. And I know that Father Pavone is so good at keeping himself focused on the Lord, and I just would love some advice from him, because I know those of us who have our own ministries or apostolates often get dragged down because of just the details that we have to take care of. So it'll be interesting to get Father Pavone's reaction to that. Also, right after the news, we'll be checking in with Joan Lewis. She'll be giving us an update on the Holy Father and the latest news from Rome. She's in California this week, wrapping up some family business, but she is still covering her stories, as she has to, as the chief Rome correspondent for EWTN, and she'll be joining us from California to give us an update, and also we'll find out how she's doing. Joan has had a rough year. Keep her in your prayers. Her mom passed away, as well as her brother. So bless her heart. She is still deciding to join us on a Wednesday morning from California as she tends to some family business. We also want to give you an update on a situation we learned about during the program yesterday. We were trying to confirm it before we shared the news with you. Many of you have talked about how much you've been enjoying the interviews we've done with Father Richard Rego. He is the chaplain for the St. Gianna Latin Mass community. We did receive some very, very unfortunate and sad news yesterday that he passed away at the age of 72. He would have been 73 in September. And if you go to the website, fatherrego.com, FATHER Rego.com, it'll give you the full details on his passing, a little bit about his ministry. And I'll tell you what, we had him on, I think, maybe at least half a dozen times in the last few months, and he has become one of our favorite guests. People just love the way he was so loving but so direct about the faith. He never pulled any punches. As a matter of fact, there's a beautiful tribute to him on this website with a lovely picture. And they say here, this is the folks from the St. Gianna Latin Mass community. It was with a heavy heart that we announce the passing of our beloved father, teacher, confessor, and friend, Father Rego. Died on Monday, July 30th, in the year of our Lord, 2007, in St. Mary's Hospital in Tucson. Through God the Father, in his wisdom, called his faithful priest to judgment. Father Rego will live forever in the hearts of those he touched on earth. Father never wavered from preaching the truth. He taught us about the Catholic faith and would have made St. Paul proud, for he did it both in season and out of season. He reiterated time and time again the importance of the obedience of faith, frequent confession, frequent communion, praying the rosary, and a deep devotion for our Blessed Mother. Most especially, he modeled for us a reverence and awe for the gift beyond compare, our Lord Jesus, really present, truly present in the Most Holy Sacrament at the altar. Father Rego, the Society also says that a deep devotion for the traditional Latin Mass, such devotion was proven on a weekly basis as he traveled some 300 miles to other parishes from his home area of Tucson for almost 10 years to offer the traditional Latin Mass. In the end, they say Father succeeded and establishing St. Gianna's a place for those of us who equally share in the reverence and solemnity of the Latin Mass, his message of truth reaching thousands via the Internet, and his many appearances on Catholic radio. Again, he was a frequent guest on this program, Catholic Connection, as well as on Catholic Answers Live, and I believe they did talk about this last night on their wonderful program. And actually, that's where I first heard about Father Rego, and I was so impressed and so moved by his loving and direct approach about the Catholic faith that I said, you know, we have to get this gentleman on with us. And every time he was on, he would receive a flood of phone calls, a flood of emails, hits to his website, people interested in learning more about the Catholic faith. So again, we are so grateful for the time he spent with us. And they also have the interviews that we've done with Father Rego on the website, FatherRego.com. The funeral is this weekend. If you'd like to send the card, there's more information on the website. And again, it's FatherRego.com. Father spelled out, then Rego, R-E-G-O.com. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let the perpetual light shine upon him. May a soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Right now, it is just about 5.5 minutes past the hour on a Wednesday morning. Let's check your news. Well, as we mentioned, a recently released study showing Christians around the world seem to be, believe it or not, too busy for God. The Christian Post reporting the 5-year study collected data from over 20,000 Christians of all ages in 139 countries. The Obstacles to Growth survey showing that an average of more than 4 in 10 Christians say they often or always rush from task to task. The study also finding that about 60% of Christians say it's often or always true that the busyness of life gets in the way of developing, quote, my relationship with God. Dr. Michael Zigarelli is associate professor of management at the Charleston South University School of Business. He conducted that study and says, it's tragic and ironic. The very people who could best help us escape the bondage of busyness are themselves in chains. Our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, viewing Iraq's celebration of its Asian Cup soccer victory as a sign of people who yearn for peace. During his weekly general audience today, the Holy Father expressing hope the event will help pave the way to an end to the violence. The Iraqi national team that won the Asian Cup on Sunday includes Shiite, Sunni, Arab, and Kurdish players. The Holy Father emphasizing the experience of shared delight shows a desire of a people to have a normal and a peaceful life. Well, the annual report from Rutgers National Marriage Project shows marriage is declining, resulting in a sharp rise in cohabitation. David Papineau wrote the State of Our Unions report and told Family News and Focus, a focus on the family, that the long-term trend does not look optimistic. He says the study shows half of unmarried women ages 25 to 39 are living with or have lived with a partner without being married, and that the average first marriage has a 43 to 50% rate of failure. He outlined the danger this poses for society, saying you're going to see it in children being kind of aimless, shiftless, having relationship problems, and they'll grow up into adults who don't marry, who will cohabitate, and will have instability of relationships. He says, basically, this is a tragedy. Carrie Gordon Earle, the Senior Director of Issue Analysis, a focus on the family, says, the study reflects the self-centeredness of today's culture. She adds that we look at marriage as a way to make ourselves happy rather than realizing this is a public good. In other news this morning, Northwest Airlines apologizing to customers in Detroit and around the country affected by widespread cancellations this summer. The airline has said pilot absenteeism is the reason so many flights have been canceled at the end of June and July. Northwest announcing a $2 billion second quarter profit on Tuesday, but called its operational performance unacceptable. Senior Vice President Andrea Fisher Newman says she hopes passengers hear their message.
We need to be addressing it, and we're here, and we're sorry we have not been more forthcoming and not been here to address it.
Northwest passenger Eleanor Walker, meanwhile, says the airline's track record is very troubling.
Get more pilots, get more staff, then you'll get more people flying. But if you don't do that, then you're going to lose what base you have right now, because I know for my next trip, which is going to be in 2 weeks to Philadelphia, I'm taking another airline.
The website FlightStats.com reporting that just over 12% of Northwest flights were canceled from last Friday through Monday. Dozens of those moves affected passengers at the airline's Detroit Metro Airport hub. The company disputes those numbers, contending it includes flights taken out of the system earlier in the month. Northwest says it plans to recall furloughed pilots, make new hires, and adjust domestic routes to avoid more problems this month. And there's a major change about to take place in the world of journalism. Jeff Weiser has that story from the Big Apple.
Media mogul Rupert Murdoch appears poised to take control of the Wall Street Journal. Murdoch's News Corporation Board of Directors formally approved the $5 billion deal to pay $60 a share for Dow Jones & Company. Most of the stock is owned by the Bancroft family, which apparently reversed its long-rumored opposition to the sale. News of the impending takeover was greeted with mixed reaction on the streets of New York City.
You can always hope that that the newspaper will somehow remain independent, but if it does lose its independence, it'll be a sad day. I think the quality of the paper will probably suffer.
Another New York Parker said it will be good for the Wall Street Journal to have a committed newspaper tycoon behind it. Jeff Weiser, New York.
The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee holding a hearing on the death of former NFL player-turned-Army Ranger Pat Tillman. That hearing taking place today. The hearing was prompted by the ongoing controversy surrounding the details of Tillman's death. The Pentagon originally saying that Tillman was killed by enemy fire, only later to admit he was actually the victim of friendly fire. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin will be among those testifying before a House subcommittee today on the state of the city's health care nearly 2 years after Hurricane Katrina. Dave Brandon has that story.
Since Katrina and the devastating floods from levee breaks wreaked havoc on the city, only a fraction of the hospital beds available before the hurricane are available now, and Charity Hospital remains closed. The private hospitals that have reopened are losing millions of dollars as they provide care for the uninsured patients that went to Charity in the past. Dave Brandon, New Orleans.
Pregnant women living near farm fields sprayed with pesticides are six times more likely to give birth to a child with autism. So says Dr. Mark Horton with the California Department of Public Health, saying this is an important first step in finding a link between toxic exposure and autism.
The closer you were to the fields, the closer the timing was to a certain period of pregnancy and the amount of pesticide applied, all of those factors were factored into a possible exposure, and there definitely was an association.
19 central California counties were studied over a three-year period. Dr. Horton cautioning the results don't necessarily prove pesticides cause autism, but he says that there is a possible link that should be studied further. Well, August is here, and along with it, the deadliest month on America's roads. John Townsend with AAA Mid-Atlantic says the main reason is vacation season hitting its peak this month, especially during the first 10 days of August.
It is the sheer volume of people in their cars on vacation. And the more miles you travel, the greater the probability of being involved in a crash.
He says even though vacation time is a time to relax, too many of us drive while we're tired or exhausted. He says others spend time and speed drive and actually drive aggressively. He said distracted driving also said to be another factor and another problem. He advises drivers to be well-rested, sober, of course, and aware of what's going on around them. He says stopping for a break every 2 hours is also a very good idea. Speaking of a break, we're going to take a quick one right now, 12 minutes past the hour, on your Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Catholic Connection, produced by Ave Maria Radio out of southeastern Michigan and distributed through EWTN, EWTN Global Catholic Radio. You can find out more about that wonderful ministry, EWTN.com. When we come back, Joan Lewis. Stay tuned.
When you think superior, think of Brighton. Here we are, Cadillac GMC of Brighton. Only dealer you need to know.
Once you visit Superior Cadillac GMC, you will notice the difference, because there is a big difference. You'll experience the low-pressure atmosphere, and you can test drive any of the new outstanding Cadillacs. You'll have a new level of confidence with the 5-year, 100,000-mile warranty on all 2007 models. Superior Cadillac GMC is Livingston County's only certified used Cadillac dealer. Visit SuperiorCadillacGMC.com or stop in just west of I-96 at exit 145 in Brighton. Superior Cadillac GMC. Life, liberty, and the pursuit. The best you've ever been treated.
Hi, this is Nick Tom from Cresta in the Afternoon, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about my recent experience with Ken Town at Fellowship Home Lending. As first-time homebuyers, my wife and I were nervous and unsure going into the process, but it wasn't long before Ken had us really at ease. He took the time to become invested in us as people and really get to know our particular situation. Ken presented us with a number of different mortgage options that all addressed our needs in a particular way. By the time we made it to the closing table, we felt educated, secure, and confident that we had gotten the best product available. You see, at Fellowship Home Lending, there was no pressure, no attempt to bump us up over what we could afford. Just a staff that genuinely cared about what was best for us and delivered. So whether it's a first mortgage, refinance, debt consolidation, or home equity loan you need, call Ken at Fellowship Home Lending. Give him a call today, 1-800-660-6433. Once again, that's 800-660-6433. Fellowship Home Lending, where the motto, lend to your neighbor as yourself, is not just catchy words, but a way that they do business.
on a Wednesday, just about 15 minutes past the hour. Good to be with you wherever you're listening, and we're so glad to have Joan Lewis on the phone with us. You know, this is a very busy and a tough time for her. She is in California. You may know that her mom passed away a few weeks ago, and she's grateful and gracious enough to join us, even though this is a busy time for her. Joan, thanks so much for joining us. I know it's very early in California right now. Normally, when you join us from Rome, it's, what, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's after lunch. You've had your espresso, your cappuccino, your gelato, and this week we get you up super early on the West Coast.
You know, gelato, ice cream sounds very good at this hour. That might be something that would wake someone up. But coffee does the trick, too.
How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah. Doing okay. You know, lots and lots of stuff when you have to settle an estate and close up a house and so forth. It's the end to a huge and wonderful era.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, everybody in our family, and just a personal note for a minute, my mom and dad started this probably in their own home when they were little kids. And then as we grew up, we all had a huge, like a box, a suit would come, what we called our box of things. And in going through our attic, I came across my mom and dad's box of things. And, I mean, mementos from their high school days and college days and my dad's first trip out west with his best friend when he was 18. And it was absolutely phenomenal. And my mother's story of how my dad, in her own handwriting, and I'm going to put this in my blog someday because it's too fabulous, of how my dad gave her engagement ring.
Mm.
It's a really, really beautiful story. And then my dad was a wonderful photographer and took movies. And we have movies dating from when he was a kid in the 1920s.
Wow.
And we are having all of his movies. Oh, it's something like 36 reels of 400 feet. We're having them all put on DVDs. You know,
fabulous.
It's a phenomenal process, and, you know, we all get a copy of it. It's just really a great idea. If a lot of people out there have movie cameras and even the you know, video cams, that can all be put on DVDs, and it's a wonderful thing for families to have this kind of a record. It's really, really amazing. So.
You know, that's a great point because we did that for both my husband's family and my family. We took the old films and we put them. Of course, this was several years ago, really before DVDs were popular. We've got to now transfer them to DVD. But what a treat it is when you put in that video or DVD and you see the history of your family before you. And on my husband's side, his father came from a family of 10 kids, and only 3 of the siblings are alive. So when we watch those, boy, you talk about emotions, you know.
Well, my dad was one of 10. How amazing.
Mm.
You know, and I mean, but to see the pictures of your dad when he was a little boy, of your grandfather, you know, who's been dead for 40 years, when he was 29, 30, something like that, is really wonderful. So I urge people to look into it and do it now for your kid. Do it now for yourself, but also really for your kids, because that's something that won't take up a lot of space. It'll be there. It's priceless. It's in some cases almost, it's history. It's family history. And what could be more important than history?
Now, when will you be going back to Rome? Do you know yet?
I'm scheduled to go back on the 11th, and that just to leave here on the 11th, and that just, you know, depends on a number of things being concluded, like selling a house and so forth. So, anyway, it is a busy period, but, you know, been trying to keep up on the news from Rome and everything. And by the way, this is a week when if anybody listening, if you happen to be catching a plane to Rome in the next day or two, they should go to St. Mary Major Basilica. I don't know if you're familiar with the story, but August 5th.
Oh, I am. I've been to St. Mary's many times, but go ahead, tell it.
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful day to be there. Well, in the year 358, there was a very noble patrician Roman named John, and he and his wife never could have children. And they had been praying very faithfully to Mary, asking her to give them a sign as to whom they should leave their very large patrimony. Well, on the night of August 5, which, of course, is one of the warmer, if not hottest, nights of the year, Mary appeared to the couple in a dream. And she asked that they build a church in her honor and where snow would fall that night. So John and his wife, they were good friends of Pope Liberius, and they went to tell him of their dream. And to their astonishment, they discovered the Pope had the same dream. So on the morning of August 5th, the Esquiline, which, of course, is one of Rome's seven fabled hills, it was covered in snow. And this was witnessed by John, the Pope, his wife, a throng of Romans. And so Pope Liberius took a stick and traced the outline of the future basilica in the snow. And then this basilica, which, you know, most of the world knows today as St. Mary Major, its name is really Our Lady of the Snows.
Yeah.
And it's the oldest Marian church in the West. And the best part, why I'm referring to the anniversary, is that each year on the Feast of Our Lady of the Snows, the this feast is commemorated during a solemn high mass. Thousands and thousands of white flower petals, which of course symbolize the snow, are released from the basilica's rooftop, inside and outside, and they, you know, kind of just shower and fall on all the faithful who've naturally gathered to commemorate this. So it's a wonderful story, and I bet I haven't been in Rome in August, probably in 20 years, to see this. And I only actually learned of this about a dozen years ago. So it's a great time to be in Rome. Of course, it's a beautiful church to see anytime.
Yeah, it's
but
gorgeous.
A great time to be in Rome, yeah.
Yeah. We heard a lot about the Pope, his Angelus on Sunday, talking about peace.
Well, and he, as a matter of fact, the day he was referring to, not only this Angelus, but which is from Casa Gandolfo
right.
this past Sunday, because he returned there on Friday the 27th from his mountain vacation in northeastern Italy. And so the last Angelus at Lorenzago and this one at Casa Gandolfo, the Pope referred to, actually today, August 1, he referred to a letter, a note, if you will, of August 1 from 1917 when his predecessor, Benedict XVI, he wrote to the leaders of the warring countries of the First World War, dwelling on the theme of peace and, of course, asking them to bring this war to a peaceful conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I might recall at this point, when Pope Benedict was elected 2.5 years ago, he was asked why he chose the name Benedict. And obviously, he first of all has a great devotion to Saint Benedict and the Benedictine rule. That was part of the reason. But another part was because his predecessor was a pope, Benedict XV, at the time of a great war, and Benedict, even though we're not in a world war, because of so many of the conflicts in the world, he just certainly felt that he, Benedict XVI, wanted to be a pope of peace, as his predecessor in name was a pope of peace. And so he had referred to that message that the Pope wrote 90 years ago today, and also he referred to the fact that the last Sunday, marked the 50th anniversary of the birth, if you will, of the International Atomic Energy Agency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And something I did not know, he said that I knew the Holy See was a member, but I did not know the Holy See was a founding member of the IAEA. And so he, in speaking of this anniversary, said that, of course, their mandate was to accelerate and enlarge, these are his words, the contribution of atomic energy to peace, health, and prosperity throughout the world. And he was urging that the energy, in fact, be used for this, but not for the proliferation of nuclear arms, so forth and so on, but that it indeed be used for peaceful and safe use of nuclear technology. So several reasons for speaking of peace on Sunday, and the Pope concluded with a prayer that scientific and technological knowledge are applied with a sense of responsibility for the common good, and of course not in a race to annihilate nations, you know.
I love reading the updates. I love following your blog, but also reading the updates on EWTN and Zenit and the other, Catholic World News and the other different sources, because I love to see, and of course I get the Vatican information and the news service from them as well, but I love to see the Holy Father reflecting on things that are going on in the world, because sometimes I think we don't realize or we don't take advantage of his perspective. Now, of course, we try to follow the teachings as good Catholics, but to really see how the Holy Father looks at things, and, you know, and my friend Al Cresta, a colleague here on EWTN, always says,
right,
looking at everything through the lens of Scripture and the teachings of the Church, which is exactly what the Holy Father is doing, and he can really give us a great perspective. And how are we as Catholics to look at these different things out there?
Well, you know, and interestingly enough that you should speak of the Holy Father and the international situation, and two kind of interesting things came out this week. As you know, at the beginning of every month, there are monthly prayer intentions for the Pope. There's a general intention, and there's a missionary intention. And the Pope for the month of August has called he prays that the Church in China may bear witness to ever greater inner cohesion and may manifest her effective and visible communion with Peter's successor. And, of course, China has been a big thing in recent months, the Pope's letter to Catholic to the Chinese, mm-hmm, Catholics in China. And then also Liu Banyan, who's head of the Patriotic organization, that is to say the state-approved Catholics in China. He has indicated that he would like the Pope to visit China, and he'd be very happy to receive him. And the Pope was asked about that this week when he was visiting with priests in northern Italy before he left for Rome. And he said it's really a complicated issue, and he couldn't address it at the time. I think he fairly well addressed the situation in China in his letter to the Catholics in China. And because, of course, there's the underground ones that are loyal to Rome and the Pope and the ones that are persecuted, and then the ones that are, should we say, above ground, allowed to practice their faith, these are the ones that are controlled by the state. And the state names the bishops, and that's obviously one of the biggest hurdles for there not existing any diplomatic relations between China and the Holy See. And China keeps saying, as long as the Holy See doesn't interfere in our internal things, you know, then we'll establish relations. But for the Vatican, naming a bishop is not China's internal affairs. It's the Church's internal affairs. So the Holy Father's praying, as we all should. As children, you know, in the 50s and so forth, for years, people in the United States prayed for the conversion of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we need a new prayer, you know, for China, that the Chinese Catholics be allowed to practice their faith at Rome, be allowed to name the bishops. So we shall see where things go with China.
Now, how long with the Holy Father normally does he stay at Castel Gandolfo?
Till the end of September.
Okay.
So
now, he does come back sometimes into Rome for the audience, because I know we've been there in September, and even though you know, he does spend most of his time in Castel Gandolfo, there are times where he will come in for the audience on Wednesdays.
Right, and his first audience in almost a month was today. And I did not, just because of the hour here, I didn't follow that for one reason. I have at my mom's home, in linking my computer to the Internet, my phone doesn't work.
Oh.
So I was so much afraid that I would be on the Internet taking a glance at his speech, and you try and call and wouldn't get through.
So. See, that's the true radio gal, and yes, the broadcaster coming out saying, got to get ready for the interview. We so appreciate that.
Yeah.
But he normally stays there to the end of September, but he does come back, sometimes go back and forth between Rome and Castle.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, he'll do that for the audience, and then he'll have audiences, you know, like private ones out there, normally far fewer than he would have when he's at the, mm-hmm, Vatican in Rome. And then he also, in the past, certainly for John Paul, there were a number of concerts in the evening at the castle, at Castel Gandolfo, and different events like that to make life pleasurable. But there's two occasions in September when I know the Pope's going to leave on the weekend of September 1st and 2nd. There's a meeting in Loreto on the Adriatic at, mm-hmm, the Shrine of Our Lady, mm-hmm, of Loreto with young people, kind of a prelude to next summer. The World Youth Day. And then on September 7th, 8th, and 9th, he will be in Austria, and I will be in Austria covering that trip.
Oh, exciting.
So, well, it's a beautiful country.
Oh,
Vienna is a gorgeous, gorgeous city. I haven't been there in, I don't even care to tell you how long, but beautiful, beautiful place. So I think he'll be, it'll be exciting going there, and I know the Pope is scheduled to give an important address to all the diplomats, because there a lot of people just think of New York and the UN, but both Geneva and Vienna are home to the headquarters of many United Nations and other international organizations. So he's probably, that's what he's going to be working on. You know, his speeches for trips like this, he's going to continue writing the second part of his book on Jesus, and indications are that he's writing another encyclical. So, you know, the quiet downtime you have when you're not that interrupted. I think anybody listening to us knows as well as we do that if you start a project that's rather difficult and you're allowed to continue it without very many interruptions, then, you know, it's you just seem to work better. So, but John Paul for years, I don't know if he was the first one to stay that long. I think he was. He stayed usually until the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Aunt Teresa, there was a wonderful thing which we were able to do for years. Those of us who worked for the Vatican, when the Pope would come back from an international trip or even from Castel Gandolfo, his helicopter would land, of course, in Vatican City, and then he'd be driven by car to the residence.
Uh-huh.
And we were allowed to gather in the courtyard. So let's say his car was going to arrive at 7:30 or so at night. We'd get there about 7 or so. And I don't know if, I don't think everybody who worked for the Vatican even knew this, because most of the times I was there, there were only like 200 of us. And the Pope would lie. He would greet every single person.
Oh.
And so I've got some wonderful pictures of standing in the courtyard when he would come home from trips.
Wow.
And it was a lovely, lovely thing to do. And then, of course, you know, in the latter years, obviously, that was discontinued, but it was a lovely gesture on his part to receive members, as we were called, members of the papal household.
Mm. What blessings. You know, I would encourage people, if they are going to Italy, to Rome, to make sure they try to get to that area around Castel Gandolfo, to get to that town, Castel Gandolfo, and also the Frascati region, which is right there. My husband and I spent a great deal of time there in 2005, and what a beautiful area of Italy.
Oh. And they're called the Roman hill towns. Mm. The Castelli Romani, and Castelli in this sense meaning castle, simply because small towns cropped up on all of these hills around Lake Albano, which, by the way, is a lake that is in a former volcanic crater.
Gorgeous.
And, yeah, it's a beautiful lake. The towns are small. They're wonderful to just roam around.
That's what we did. We walked around and had some wine and some cookies and some porchetta, and just incredible.
Yeah,
experience.
The porchetta especially. Mm-hmm. And there's some great restaurants that overlook the lake. And
yep.
I mean, it's so small. You can visit in minutes, but you want to go out there. And on Sundays, it's just a couple thousand people get into the inner courtyard, and that's where the Pope will come out on a balcony and recite the Angelus. So. But it's a very, very beautiful place.
It is. And then we so enjoy your reports. Whether you're in Rome or in California, you just make... I was talking with Frank from EWTN last week. We were down at the Catholic Marketing Network. And he said, I just love listening to you and Joan chat on Wednesday mornings. He says, I feel like, you know, I'm just having a cup of coffee with you, too. And that's, I think, the biggest compliment we can get in radio, when people feel like just joining us in our conversation.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, Teresa, I heard a lot of that when I was at the EWTN family celebration last... the weekend of the 21st and 22nd, so many people came up to me for many reasons, but that was one of them. Oh, I love the time you and Teresa spend together.
Good.
And that was a, you know, a wonderful thing to say. And I even had people come up to me from behind, like I'd be talking to somebody else, and they'd put their, they'd tap my shoulder, and they'd say, I recognize your voice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you are a blessing, and we're going to wish that the next 10 days or so, my dear, goes well for you with your family. And I know it's been a rough year for you, but you are always in our prayers, and you are one of the gifts to us here on this radio program, and, of course, to EWTN as well.
Well, listen, likewise, your friendship and our being together on Wednesdays is very important to me.
All right, sweetie, we have a good day and a good week, and we will talk to you 1 week from today.
And we'll, yeah, exactly. Okay.
All right, God bless.
Joel
Lewis, of course, reporting on the Holy Father and his activities taking place this week. Actually, he's in Castel Gandolfo at the summer residence, and she is following that for us from California, where she's wrapping up some personal things. Her dear mom passed away recently, and she's working with her family to kind of wrap things up there. We all know how that goes. It's a tough time, but she's very, very gracious in joining us still on Wednesday, so we can find out what's going on with the Holy Father, which she covers for EWTN every week. She has a terrific blog, Joan's Rome. You can get that on EWTN.com. EWTN.com. And speaking of EWTN, you see him on Friday evenings on Defending Life, Father Frank Pavone, National Director for Priesthood Life. He is on hold and will be joining us right after the break. It's 34 minutes past the hour on a Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection, August 1st already. Summer moving by quickly. Slow it down. I love summer. We'll be right back. This program made possible in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The Ave Maria Mutual Fund family is designed for investors who are looking for financially sound investments in companies that adhere to the core teachings of the Catholic Church. Ave Maria Funds offer well-diversified investment portfolios that choose only companies that do not support abortion, pornography, or non-marital partner benefits. Every stock and bond must meet strict financial criteria set by the portfolio managers and analysts at Schwartz Investment Counsel. For more information or an investor's kit, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or AveMariaFunds.com.
Performance data quoted represents past performance, which is no guarantee of future results. Investment return and principal value are historical and may fluctuate so that the redemption value may be worth more or less the original cost. Prospective investors should read the prospectus carefully and consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses carefully before investing. The prospectus, which can be obtained by calling 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at AveMariaFund.com, contains this and other information. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Hi, this is Mike Carb, owner of Office Express. Father Xavier from Milly's Christi pointed out to me how early Christians supported each other. I feel the people who live and work in the Detroit area should do the same. All companies use office supplies, printing, and office furniture. If you can get the same or better pricing on your office needs, why wouldn't you support a company that supports local Catholic causes, such as this radio station? We save businesses money, even when competing with the largest companies in our industry. Let's face it, WDEO doesn't stay on the air by magic. We all enjoy Catholic radio, and they need to pay their bills. Office Express needs your support to stay in business. We will save you money on all your office product needs. Now that's a win-win. Call the company WDEO calls. Office Express at 877-795-2600. That's 877-795-2600. Or go to www.officeexpressnow.com.
Go make a difference. We can make a difference. Go make a difference in the world. Go make a difference. Make a difference. Go make a difference in the world.
Wednesday morning, bottom of the hour. Right now, just actually after the bottom of the hour, about 7 minutes past the bottom of the hour, 37 minutes exactly. We are going to be talking in just a second with Father Frank Pavone. If you'd like more information on his ministry, of course, priestforlife.org is the website. He's a national director for Priests for Life, and he's in New York this morning. But, Father, good morning. I understand you're on your way to D.C. this afternoon.
Yes, good morning. I'm going this afternoon to the annual gathering of the Diocesan Respect Life Directors from all around the country. Most dioceses have someone who is in charge of coordinating and fostering Respect Life activities within that diocese. The offices are structured differently from place to place. But once a year they have a conference, and that is beginning this afternoon or this evening.
All righty. And then there's a couple of dates you wanted to talk to us about that are very significant for us in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, of course, we've begun the month of August, and there's a few significant anniversaries as well as events coming up. Let's take the first one coming up in just 5 days. August the 6th, of course, is the Feast of the Transfiguration, but on that day in 1978, Pope Paul the 6th died. And I remember that day very well, as a matter of fact, because I was in the seminary at that time. I was in my novitiate year. I started off with the Salesians, as I think you know, and the novitiate, and we got the news that day about Paul the VI. He was a great pope. He left us, of course, the encyclical Humanae Vitae, which we talked about last week, which was the 39th anniversary of that encyclical. And Paul the VI did a lot of other things, of course, for the church. A great and faithful leader, and be good to remember him as we approach his anniversary. Maybe read some things about him over the internet, and be encouraged by the great teachings that he left us.
Do you have something that from him that means the most to you in terms of your work and your ministry?
Well, Paul VI, I think that it really is for me his faithfulness in proclaiming Humanae Vitae, because that relates so directly to the work I do, and the way that he was, you know, faithful to the Holy Spirit and to the Church's tradition, because as many people know, he was presented with two reports, advisory reports, prior to issuing that encyclical, and it was the minority report and the majority report, and he went along with the minority report, which shows that the faithful application of Church teaching to the circumstances of the day does not always correspond with a survey even of experts as to what they think it should be. And he, of course, was right on the mark in terms of teaching faithfully. The other thing I remember about Paul VI was he issued a beautiful creed. We say the creed on Sundays at Mass, and then, of course, when we say the rosary, we use the shortened version of the Apostles' Creed. But Pope Paul VI issued a creed called the Credo of the People of God. It's a much longer creed. It's an exposition of the faith. It's a beautiful document, and I would encourage people to look that up as well. And, of course, those of us who are priests and deacons and teachers of the faith, be good to go back to Pope Paul VI, Credo of the People of God, because it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful document.
You know, it's interesting talking about Humanae Vitae. I was listening to Al Cresta yesterday on Crest in the Afternoon, and Wednesday? Maybe it was Monday. But he was having this very interesting discussion and talking about, the issues that were brought out in Humanae Vitae, especially the issue of birth control, and how, you know, everyone thought at the time, oh, this would be such a great thing, and yet look at us now, we're no better off. As a matter of fact, we're in a much worse situation. And, you know, every time you turn around, Father, there's always these studies that come out to show science is always backing up Church teaching. And there's another study that I read in the news this morning about how problematic it is in terms of the state of marriage in this country, with so many people looking at marriage as, oh, gosh, I don't know if that's going to make me happy, so I'm going to cohabitate with someone, or I'm just not going to pay attention to a serious relationship. And I think, wow, more for what, you know, Pope Paul VI was saying, you know, many, many years ago.
Sure, because the kind of a lifestyle that completely divorces sexual activity from any sense of responsibility to a lifelong commitment leads you down the road by which marriage then becomes something irrelevant after a while. I mean, because of casual sexual encounters happening, what happens is that the human heart becomes hardened, because you it hurts too much to get so close to a person and then to say, oh, well, this is not the person that's always going to be with me, and we're going off to somebody else. That kind of a culture leads to the sense that not only is marriage irrelevant, but am I able to make such a permanent commitment? It leads to doubt about the very ability to do that. And these were all things that Paul VI prophesied.
All right, we're going to take a break, Father. We already have some calls coming in for you. People have some questions about some issues before us in terms of the pro-life movement. We'll get to Marcia calling from New York right after the break. 43 minutes past the hour now, Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Of course, Father Frank Bavone with us every Wednesday. 877-573-7825 if you have a question for the good Padre. 877-573-7825. And coming up tonight on EWTN Live with Father Mitch, someone that is near and dear to Father Frank Bavone, Bishop Yonta is going to be on with Father Mitch, and that is at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. And Bishop John Yonta, of course, is the Diocese of Amarillo and very involved with the pro-life ministry of Father Frank Bavone. Again, that is tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern on EWTN Live with Father Mitch. We're going to see and hear from Bishop Yonta from the Diocese of Amarillo. Coming back in just a second, we'll take Marcia's call from New York. And also, if you have a question, again, phone lines are open, 877-573-7825.
Pardon the pun, but the savings will floor you at Independent Carpet One in Westland. They're having a crazy days of summer blowout sale with crazy savings on all in-stock inventory.
Plus no payments and no interest for one full year.
The sale will be on for one day only,
August 18th from 10 to 5.
The discounts will increase as the day goes on, but the selection will decrease. With everything first come, first serve, and no hold tags or special reserves. Shop between 10 and noon to save 10%, and between noon to 2, save 20%. From 2 to 3, 30%. From 3 to 4, 40%. until they finally reach 50% between 4 and 5. But remember, the discounts apply to in-stock inventory only. So when something's gone,
it's really gone.
Decide what you want and when to shop and make your best deal during the crazy days of summer blowout sale.
August 18th from 10 to 5.
At Independent Carpet One.
On North Wayne Road in Westland.
Call now for a free pre-measure. 734-729-6200. That's 734-729-6200.
Drive and fly this summer with Michigan Catholic Credit Union. MCCU has everything you need for your car loan package. Start by choosing one of the many loan options. There's MCCU's Driving Sense program, which is a better alternative to leasing. Or you can borrow for a new, used, and classic car with terms up to 84 months. Next include one or all of our insurance options. GAP, Mechanical Breakdown Insurance, Credit Life, and Disability Insurance. Then lastly, MCCU members are eligible for a special group discount on auto insurance. If you act now, you can either choose scorecard bonus points or your MCCU Visa or a companion airline ticket. Get ready to drive and fly at MCCU. It's easy. Apply online at mishcapcu.org or call 1-866-NOW-MCCU. Some restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. 46 minutes past the hour now, Wednesday morning of Catholic Connection. And every Wednesday at this time, we have a great conversation, very informative, with Father Frank Pavone, National Director for Priests for Life, keeping us connected and what's happening on the front lines of the pro-life movement. We also take your calls, and we'll do that right now. We have two folks on the line that would like to speak with Father. Our phone number, 877-573-7825. My name, of course, is Teresa Tomeo. Good to be your host on this program. Let's go to New York, and Marcia has a question for Father Frank. Marcia, good morning.
Good morning. I was wondering if Father could give me some information. I got a flyer in the mail that was talking about a bill that was just introduced, the Freedom of Choice Act, that would guarantee the women the right of abortion for any reason. And then I was talking to another person, and they said, well, that bill's been on the books for a number of years. So I was wondering if it was a new bill that's been revised or just... Yeah, I just don't know. I'm just trying to find out. I've got the numbers of the Senate bill and the House of Representatives bill, but I was wondering if Father knew anything about it.
Sure. Thanks, Marcia. Father?
Yes, thanks. Thanks, Marcia. Good to bring that up. This Freedom of Choice Act has been introduced before. In fact, it was introduced back in 92 under the Clinton regime. And what it is, and the reason it's being introduced now again, is that because of the shift in power in the Senate and the House, the sense among the pro-abortion members is, well, you know, let's introduce this again to show our commitment to the so-called right to choose. Now, two things to keep in mind about this. First of all, what would this bill do? What this bill would do would be to go far beyond Roe versus Wade, which is already extreme enough in the sense that it allows abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. But even under Roe v. Wade and under the Supreme Court's current views on abortion, the states are able to pass significant numbers of laws that slow down the abortion industry. For example, laws about informed consent, waiting periods, parental involvement, clinic regulation, etc. What the Freedom of Choice Act aims to do is to take away any of these restrictions and just to say abortion is essentially available without any restriction whatsoever. Now, here's the thing to keep in mind. Two things. First of all, it is important to voice to our elected representatives in Congress our opposition to this particular bill. And most of the American people do not go along with this extreme kind of policy that this bill represents. But while it is important for us to make our voice heard, the other thing to keep in mind is that this particular bill is not going to become law at the present time. First of all, they don't have the votes in Congress to pass it. And secondly, the president would veto it. Absolutely, we know that. We know that for sure. The president promised in writing some months ago. In fact, not too long after the elections. The president promised in writing that any policy, any bill that would weaken any pro-life legislation or policies, he would veto, and he's been faithful to that so far. So that's what to keep in mind about this. But do by all means communicate with your representatives and senators and tell them that this particular bill, the Freedom of Choice Act, is just outrageous.
So is this something we should or shouldn't be concerned about in the very near future, Father? What do you think?
We should be concerned about speaking out about it, but it's not going to become it. They don't have this kind of support either in public opinion nor even among the congressional members for that kind of an extreme policy.
All right, Marcia, thanks. Good question. Let's go over to New Orleans, where Chuck has a question for you, Father. Chuck, good morning.
Good morning, Father. I just need to say that seeing you on EWTN preaching at the Daily Mass changed my life and made me active in the pro-life movement here in New Orleans.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
I love that. Chuck, that is so great. Thanks for sharing that.
I mean,
yes, that's what I like to hear.
Thank you, Father. And so I have a question, Father. Is our pro-life work, is it more effective at the individual parish level or at the diocese level?
Well, that's a good question. Let me put it this way. The individual parish can get a lot done even in places where the diocesan level pro-life activity is not necessarily that strong. And this is true in a lot of places. Not that the bishops aren't pro-life, but, you know, bishops have different priorities just like the rest of us. And the diocesan office of pro-life activities in some places is stronger than in others. I was mentioning earlier on the show that starting this evening and for the next few days, I will be with all the diocesan Respect Life directors at their annual conference. But you know, they're all different, and some of them are laboring under a lot of limitations. So if you have a strong pro-life pastor in the local parish, or even an associate priest or deacon, for that matter, or strong parish lay leadership, then by all means start there and do a lot of things. The thing to keep in mind is this. The church lays out a lot of different goals and suggestions for activity. Because those are already laid out from the Holy Father and from the bishops' documents generally across the country, we don't really have to wait for further instructions on a parish level. You know, the task is already laid out for us, and so to start working on that local parish level, I think is the best idea.
Thank you, Father.
Thanks, Chuck, and thanks for sharing. Very cool stuff. Father, where else are you going? I know that you said you're going to D.C. this afternoon. What else is on the agenda for you? You're always going somewhere.
Well, yes, I'm going to be going this weekend to Atlanta, Georgia, and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference is having
right.
its
yeah.
50th anniversary. Yes, this was the organization of Martin Luther King Jr. Through which he worked for the civil rights movement, and I have been and continue to be in communication with them about articulating a little more loudly and clearly the fact that this vision of equality and equal justice for every human being applies to unborn human beings. So I'll be there on Sunday night for their celebration, and let's just pray that, of course, Alveda King will be with me.
I was just going to say that because she was on the show with me last week, and she was talking about going to that event with you. Yeah.
Oh, good, good, good. So that's coming up. And then, of course, I'll be going to Amarillo in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, actually, for our annual pro-life retreat. There's still some room left. If people in the Amarillo area, or actually from anywhere, but at this late stage, the locals might be easiest for them to come. It's going to be from the 15th through the 21st, and you don't have to come for the whole thing. If you want to just come on the weekend or just even for some of the evening presentations, you can come for just part of it. But we'll be holding it at the Bishop DeFalco Retreat Center there in Amarillo, and we'll have pro-life experts coming in. We'll have Alveda will be there for some of it, Teresa Burke with Rachel's Vineyard, Father Tom Eitenauer with HLI,
wow.
and of course myself and Janet Morana and others. So we'll welcome anybody who wants to come.
Wait, talk about another in the pro-life movement. Wow, what a great
Yeah,
event.
We're going to have a lot. Good lineup. And And then August 11th is an important date, too. A week from this Saturday is the straw poll in Ames, Iowa. Now, that's in regard to the presidential election. The straw poll in Ames, Iowa gives a good indication of how candidates are doing, and it can propel candidates into more national attention if they haven't got much so far. So it's important for those who are listening from the state of Iowa to make your way to Ames and vote in that straw poll a week from Saturday. It's very important. And vote for the candidate of your choice, keeping in mind the church's teachings about the importance of the issues. So there's some of the things coming up. And then maybe next week we could talk more about this, but Mother Teresa's 10th anniversary is coming up, September the 5th. And at the end of this month, we're going to invite people to join in a special novena of prayer to Mother Teresa and to the Lord in gratitude for Mother Teresa and her ongoing example. And maybe, Teresa, we could talk about some of the moments that I spent with her.
Sure. And, you know, I actually met her father when I was an intern at a big radio station in Detroit my junior year of college, and she blessed me.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, she blessed me, and we talked about our names. Of course, her name being T.E., spelled T.E., the name she took for her ministry, and my name being spelled the same way. And it was my responsibility as the intern to bring in the guests, you know, kind of escort them to and from the building and the studios and whatnot, and get them anything they needed. And so, of course, when I heard she was coming, I got all excited. And she walked in, and then I stayed with her, and then I walked her down, you know, went downstairs with her back to the lobby of the Big Fisher building in Detroit, and she blessed me before she got off the elevator. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Isn't that wonderful? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Those are memorable moments.
Yeah.
Memorable moments.
And who knows what kind of blessing that had in terms of my eventually going in. You never know in Catholic radio.
That's right.
Doing
well,
that,
exactly. And she's interceding for us now.
Amen. Father, you have a good day, and thanks so much for all that you do. And I know we're all excited about watching Bishop Yonta tonight. That'll be fun at EWTN with Father Mitch.
Oh, he's been a great encouragement to us, and I'm sure he'll have some good things to say.
All right, Father. Safe travels, and look forward to catching up with you next week.
See you next week.
God bless. Father Frank Pavone, National Director for Priests for Life, of course, with us every Wednesday morning. And such a great gift he is, as well as Joan Lewis. So we always hear such great feedback on our Wednesday sessions. And we just kind of sit back and talk about, as Al Cresta would say, the things that matter most. Hey, you know what? Al Cresta is about to celebrate 20 years in religious broadcasting. We're going to have a Cresta Fiesta next week in Michigan, southeastern Michigan. And you're going to be joining us live. We're going to be doing the program remotely, Al's program, that is, and I'll be there to kind of give him a big hug, and we're having an event. If you're in Michigan next week, we'll tell you about it. You can join us, of course, but you can certainly enjoy us on the radio. Coming up tomorrow, Mike Aquilina, Love in the Little Things, a domestic catechism for the domestic church. Have a great Wednesday. We'll talk to you on a Thursday. See you.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Good morning. My name is Carl Brenner, and I am the Clinical Director of Brenner Prosthetic Specialists. Since 1944, three generations of the Brenner family have been helping patients who have undergone amputation surgery to lead more active lives by using the most innovative prosthetic technology to custom design and build artificial limbs. With 63 years of experience and our use of the most advanced interactive procedures, we can guarantee the fit of your new prosthesis. Let me repeat that. If you determine that the new prosthesis we have custom designed and built to your personal specifications is not any better than your previous artificial limb, we guarantee that Brenner Prosthetic Specialists will not bill you or your insurance company for any medically necessary services provided to you. If you would like to learn more about our no better, no bill prosthetic guarantee, please arrange for a free consultation by calling Brenner Prosthetic Specialists at 800-451-LIMB. That's 800-451-LIMB. 800-451-5462. Thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Nick Tom from Cresta in the Afternoon, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about my recent experience with Ken Town at Fellowship Home Lending. As first-time homebuyers, my wife and I were nervous and unsure going into the process, but it wasn't long before Ken had us really at ease. He took the time to become invested in us as people and really get to know our particular situation. Ken presented us with a number of different mortgage options that all addressed our needs in a particular way. By the time we made it to the closing table, we felt educated.